Record. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by legendary musician Gino. How's it going, Gene?
Amazing. And yourself?
I'm good, other than it's like 6 degrees where I'm at, but other than that, everything's good. I hope you're
Well, that's good because it's cold. It's cold here as well. I think it was 15 this morning, so
Oh. Well, you
we
got us.
got you. We're a little warmer than you are.
Yeah, by far. Yeah, by far. So, Gino, getting into your life, I was reading your bio, and one thing that you did as a young excuse me, as a youngster, was starting in a place that, as far as music is concerned, is a good place to start at, and that's the church. You were 7 years
Yes.
old, and were you did you sing in the choir or sing on your own?
Yes, I sang in the children's choir with Miss Sandra Eigelhart, who I still stay in touch with. Yes.
But then your professional career didn't even start until 10 years later. You
Well,
had
yeah, it's
sung.
it, the professional started probably around 17. That's when I had an opportunity to go out and do actually my first professional live show.
You remember where that was at?
I remember getting a chance to go to Fresno, California, and open for a couple of big name R&B artists, which one of them was Full Force and the other was the Jets back in the 80s.
So it sounds like that you were ready then by that point, having already done it for 10 years.
I was ready and not ready all at the same time.
Yeah.
That life is busy. It really is. And although I was doing the music side of it, the honest to God truth is basketball was where my heart was. And that's really what I wanted to do is I wanted to play pro basketball.
And did you pursue that as well as music?
I had a chance to go as far as semi, and then I messed up my leg, and so we made the shift.
There's one guy that I know that also tried for basketball, and same exact story. He got recruited by the Chicago Bulls and
Wow.
tore up his ACL, and that was pretty much the end of it for him.
Yep, pretty much the end. You
Yeah.
can never get that step back after a major injury.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, after that, yeah. But anyway, so let's talk about Classic Twist. You are part of that, and you have a new song out called Time for Change.
Yes, Time for Change. Well, Classic Twist, if we get into the concept of it, Classic Twist was just something that really came to be because I wanted to do classic rock and classic country, really, and kind of put a twist on it being the vocal R&B vocal. And came up, my brother, who was a amazing guitar player, still is actually. He did a lot of the classic rock, the Journeys, the Toto, Van Halen, you name it, he did it. And growing up listening to R&B, it was really different for me because that was not what I was thinking I was going to be doing when I got older. But I fell in love with it. And so, but then every time I would sing it, although people were really impressed by it, it still was just weird for me because I felt like I was supposed to be like the next Luther Vandross,
Yeah.
which was one of my idols growing up. But then I fell in love with Steve Perry. And then I fell in love with Rascal Flatts on the countryside. So it was kind of a mix. And that's how Classic Twist came to be. Time for Change came one morning that just made me realize that the only way that I could express myself as far as music goes with what I was really feeling was to come up with something that would unite people. And Time for Change really kind of honed in on verbiage of what needed to be said.
Yeah, that's one thing that you try to emphasize it in this song is unity and love within the world.
Yes.
That we live in a very dysfunctional world, which is definitely true. And so, but that seems to be what you're all about is unity and love inside of your music.
It's not only inside of that, and you'll hear a little bit more about it probably next month, as I have a book also, and it's talking about the same thing, and we're going to be pushing that as well as the classic twist, new project that we're finishing up now, finishing up the mixing on it, and that's pretty much done as well, which I'm super excited about, releasing that as well. So both will be really pushed around the same time.
Well, when you get done with it or when it comes out, I hope you'll send a copy my way.
Done deal. That's not a question.
Very good. And so going back to something about church that you were talking about, I meant to ask you, do you still sing within the church or do you still get
No,
churches?
I don't, but I did have the chance to record. I haven't released it, but I recorded a gospel album for my mom. She wanted me to do that. She had been asking me to do it for years, and 1 year, 2016, I think it was, I got really sick, and during that period, it really led me to do it. So one of these days I'll release it, I'm sure.
Well, I cannot wait for it. Gospel is my favorite. I listen to a lot of gospel, so
Awesome.
yeah.
I'll get a chance. I can send you a couple of, just for you to listen to. I'll send you a couple, all original.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And
Not a problem.
there's a gentleman also that I know I'm gonna probably interview, well, not probably, but going to interview, Kevin Flournoy, who I think is your business partner, running partner.
He used to be. What Kevin is so busy between producing, and then he has a new project out. The timing right now for what I'm doing and for what he's doing, it was just kind of a clash because it was pulling him too far one way, and it was delaying what I wanted to do. So we just decided right now, until we really get going one way or another, because I still do some singing for him, et cetera, et cetera. And him being an amazing producer and songwriter and pianist, I'm always going to keep Kevin, close. But right now, this for me, Classic Twist was, and it was, my baby anyway. Classic Twist was just something right now, just felt like I needed to do solo.
Did he also help you come up with the name Classic Twist, or was that more of a you thing?
That was Classic Twist, came up by Gino. Gino came up with that concept.
Were there other names that you were toying with besides Classic Twist before you decided?
No, Classic Twist kind of took the steering wheel and said, "This is the name." So I said, "Okay," and it fit.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. So, is there anything else that you will be working on? I know you said a book, but any other projects in the works?
I'm working on a trilogy right now for another book, and I'm in book three. So that's another one. It's called Mama J, and it'll be following this one. We're just finalizing the first two, getting the edits done, and then I'll, because I've been writing so much over the last 2.5 months, I would say I've probably written 20 songs.
Oh,
And
wow.
so I just needed to take a break and let my brain regroup. And then I'll be going in doing something else, and no telling what it'll be. I'm thinking about doing a what I believe it's called, a bolero, which is Spanish love songs.
For all those young aspiring artists that want to get into the music world, what advice do you give to them? Or maybe how do you start a song when you start to write it? Is there a writing process that you try and go to?
For me, when I start writing a song, and more, I'm more of a lyricist than a musician. That's why I have people like Kevin, But for me, it's just the song and the style that touches me. And that, as far as the music goes, I almost write, as far as lyrically, almost anything that revolves around love. If it doesn't talk about love, and it can be relationship love, but right now I think we need more than relationship love. We need love just across the board. And so my focus for the last, I live by it, but as far as lyrically, my thing has been more of, that's the forefront, is unity, love, and getting us back on track.
I just want to go off topic here for just a moment. You have one of the coolest setups I see back there with all the tiling back there between the black, the blue, the green. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, my buddy just finished up his studio. Justin, say it again. Yes, Justin Bench. He just finished his studio and he said, "Gene, you want to." So I was like, "This is perfect for me." And it's so warm and comfortable. So it came at the right time.
And what does that say in the background? The floor.
Third third floor studios.
Third floor
It's
studios.
intentionally thirst. Third floor.
Third floor studios. I'm assuming that it's on the third floor then.
No, actually, it's
No.
not. No, it's not. I don't know why Justin came up with the title. We didn't talk about it, but it's actually in a house on the first level.
Okay, fair enough. And also, I wanted to ask you, because I love your name as well, Gino, for a musician. How what's your full name? Gene.
Eugene Cole is my birthright name. Gino, I've been going by most of my life. I'd say 75% of my life I've been going by Gino, but the spelling is what was different and unique for me, because at the time, I don't know your age, but at the time there was a performer named Dino that was out. And so I did a show with him. And I just needed my spelling to be different, and that's when I changed
When you said Dino, I was thinking like Dean Martin or something like that, I know he.
it. No, it was a pop singer named Dino, and his name was spelled Dino. And when they spelled Gino for me, and then they kept re referring, I said, I need to change that up. So I changed the spelling of
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go by Michael O after this.
it. That works.
Yeah, there's something about an O. I like adding an O at your. That makes it cool. So.
And I think that's what stood out for me. The dash O is what stood out for me. So it kind of worked.
So let's talk about your book. You said you have a book coming out. Is that going to be an autobiography, pretty much?
No, it's again about change. It came to me during all of the riots and all of the political banter or whatever you want to talk about, all of
Yeah.
that stuff during that period. And I was watching the news, and the news was just driving me insane with everything that was going on. And it was really touching a spot in me that had never been touched. And it was hurting. Because my thing is I just love everybody. I don't care who you are, I just love everybody because that's just
Yeah.
who I am. And so the book, the when it came up, my wife said to me, because she could see the anger in me, and she says, "Well, if you're so angry about it, why don't you write about it?" And I said, "Write?" Yeah, she says, "Yeah, why don't you write a book or something?" And I was like, I don't know how to write a book." So she said, "It's just like writing a song. It's just long form, a form." So I said, "I'll give it a shot." And I probably six weeks, 7 weeks, I was putting in 12 to 15 hours a day.
Ooh.
And I finished the book. I finished the novel in about 8 weeks as far as the writing part.
That's another thing that you talk about as well as division. Do you please don't take this wrong when I ask this, but as a man of color yourself, do you think that we've done pretty well of accepting, or that the racial barrier has been closed a little bit?
It's and thank you for phrasing it the way that you did, but I don't get offended because it's a fair
Yeah.
question. For me, I look at it differently than a lot of, I guess, people of color. From what I see, is because I don't, it's you get racism all over, and the only part that really bothers me about it is it's because it's always. When we talk about race, it's always about black and white. Race is so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
When you get into racism and things that are going on if you're not white, or things that are going on if you're not black, there's a lot of that going on too. But the only things that are really put to the forefront of the things that are happening with black and white. But there's so much other stuff that's going on that's outside of black and white. And I want to change it all. I don't want to just change black and white. I want to change anything that's dealing with racism, ignorance, stupidity, however you want to say it. Because I feel like I find good in all and I find bad in all. And so if you could just love all, we can make that change. The book, which is called Five Steps Black, which one of the things that we're writing about and is what I don't want people to think that it's about being black. The story is so much bigger than that. It's it the story is, Charlie and Charles and living the life per se of understanding more about what a black man would have to go through if you didn't grow up that way. But it also talks about the gay community. It also talks about the Latin community. It just talks about things that someone has to, unless you walk in someone's shoes, meaning overweight, bipolar, all of those different things. Unless you walk in their shoes, you'll never know what they go through. And that's mainly what the book is focused on, is understanding walking in someone else's shoes, what they have to go through.
I know that. Well, I live in Kansas City, Missouri, and we have something called the Negro League Baseball Museum that shows how, I guess, back in those days. I'm a little young, but that the blacks had only the black areas and the whites had the white areas, and so when sports, I think we've done a good job of letting sports and the amalgamation of things happen as far as sports is concerned.
Well, and that is true. It has, I mean, we would be not telling the truth if we said that that hasn't come, way beyond what it was even before my time. But it's it it's I don't like the fact of it being based on our athleticism as opposed to just as a person. I don't, when you walk into a store and you're followed around the store because you're a black man, or you're put in a pigeonhole because you go into a situation where you're a black man and you have to do things a certain way. I just want to be a man first and be judged based on that. And anything that comes after that, if you want to base me on my height, my weight, or whatever, that's different. But just let me be a man and base me on being human and a loving man. And then, anything that comes after that, because you won't get anything bad from my side of it in regards to who I am as a man.
No, I agree. I mean, too much hate. Going back to what you're saying, I think that at least get to know someone if you're before you start to hate them if they are
We're
hateful.
currently in Utah, and when I was first coming, getting ready to come out here, I was hearing all of the stories of, not a whole lot of African Americans here, and the treatment and so on and so forth. And I was a little leery on coming at first. But when we did, honestly, out of every place I've been in my life, and I'm getting ready to be 60, this is one of the most peaceful places I've ever been. I love it. And I haven't, and it could be because I just don't allow myself to look at it in a negative. I don't see it. I don't see a lot of quote unquote the racism. And when I do, I love through it. When you see people doing things that just, they're blatant, I love them through it. And I believe if we could focus a little bit, I'm not gonna let anybody treat me bad. I don't care what color you are. But if I can love you through it and get you away from that stereotype of, whatever it is, thug or gang member or, mean black man or angry black man or whatever, if I can get you through that to say, well, you know what, that was different than what I've heard. It's a whole lot of different. Now there are, but again, like I said, there's gangs and war for all different nationalities. So what I'm trying to do is I'm gonna have my band or my gang or whatever of just love. So that's what mine is gonna be based on.
Yes, we need a lot more of that. Yes, and I know that you're really working hard on that, and I deeply,
I
deeply
am.
appreciate that. Yes.
I am. And I think when you get a chance to hear the album, it's gonna definitely make some changes because I'm doing a couple of covers on there that, you wouldn't necessarily think would be coming from an R&B singer. I'm doing a cover of a Kansas song. I'm doing a cover of a Journey song. But then I also have three country songs that I wrote. I'm doing some pop stuff that's, the pop for the kids that are out now. And I'm having a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun. That's the one thing that Kevin and I really, really talked about when this first started really coming together is Kevin saw it the same way that I did. As music is music, and great music is even better. And if everybody can hear your music and love your music, it doesn't matter what nationality they are or what style of music that they listen to, because if, Time for Change gets out there and everybody listens to it and sings along with it, and that message will get to you.
And you describe it as kind of a "We Are the World" kind of twang to it.
And the reason that I agreed with that when it was put together by Tom is because it's a sing-along, and it's very simple, but the message was just like We Are the World, in a sense of unity, because that's what it was about when they put that together.
Absolutely. So should I tell Kevin hello for you from you tomorrow?
Yeah, you can tell him. You can tell him. And
Yeah.
I know after my interview or after his interview, one of us will reach out to the other.
Absolutely.
He just got back from doing a show in Africa, so I know he's swamped and he has a lot of stuff going on, and I'm still writing and finishing up some stuff, but we do stay in touch. So definitely tell Kevin I said what's
Yes.
going on.
Absolutely. I will definitely do that. Well, Gino, thank you so much for your time, buddy. Thank you for doing what you do, and I cannot wait to read your book.
And thank you for that. And we will make sure to get you over a couple of those gospel songs for you to listen to.
Absolutely. Please do. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gino. God bless you.
You too, sir.
All right.
Bye bye.